Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 34 of All Your Base Podcast. I'm Cheese and Beans, and you can find me on Twitter at JimmyTwoTimes.
And I'm Nefarian, and you can find me at Nefarian on Twitter.
You can also follow the show at AYB Podcast on Twitter, or email the show, aybpodcast@gmail.com. See, I didn't mess it up that time. So, So, mate, another week's gone by, another week in gaming. Let's kick off as we normally do by talking about what we've been playing this week. So what have you been getting up to, matey?
I've been playing some Destiny, as ever.
Yes.
I think we played it together, didn't we, for a bit?
We did. Now, I was hoping this wasn't going to come up in the show, but we may as well kind of get it out there.
Well, I thought I'd mention it within the first minute.
Yeah.
A bit like football, you know. Yeah. Got to score straight away.
Yeah. Do you want to tell the listeners kind of...
what happened was we were doing the hard raids to get the achievement. There's an achievement called Flawless, which really means that you do the whole raid and nobody on your team dies.
That's the idea.
If somebody mucks it up, or somebody, shall we say, makes a massive error of judgment on the boss...
Yeah.
Then you have to restart.
Yeah.
So it was a bit of a missing in a penalty shootout moment.
It was a little bit of a Stuart Pearce, Chris Waddle kind of moment. And who on your team would make such a glaring error, mate?
I've no idea.
Oh, actually, yeah. I'm starting to recall those events. It was me, wasn't it?
Probably the most experienced person that makes the mistake.
Yeah, oh man, it sucked so bad. So yeah, we'd gone through the crota raid, and you know, pardon the pun, but it was going flawlessly. This was I think our first run at it as well, and everything was just clicking. It was working really, really nicely, really, really smoothly. Time wise, we were flying through it. I think we were, if we'd have actually finished it that time, it probably would have been about 35-40 minutes. Got to Crota, things were going well. The guys took him down with the Galahorns, the first two swords, three hits, and things were looking pretty sweet to finish him off first on the first run. And then I honestly think it was a subliminal thing. We had that Swedish guy with us, Viral Spine, we'll give him a shout out, he's a good lad. And he said, you're going to die or something like that, or you know, we're not going to do this. And then it all went, you know, it all went tits up, and real kind of rabbit in the headlights kind of moment. I mean, I must have, been the sword bearer on that raid over 100 times easily, and have finished it over 100 times easily. I've never ever had a problem with it, I just completely dropped the ball there, mate, and we didn't do it. So my apologies to yourself there and the rest of the team. Whose time I completely wasted. I mean, the thing was as well, I think after that, it kind of morale had gone, and you know, everybody just kind of seemed to. And not only that, we had a few, well, not just a few. I mean, there were a lot of times where we were dying, and it was nothing to do with. It wasn't our fault. I mean, even at the start when we were falling down to the kind of opening area of the Crota raid, where you got all the thrall and you're going up the lantern part, and you're going, you know, that part there, the first bridge. We were getting sort of, you know, one or two people dying, just falling down there, and that never happens.
No, it doesn't normally. I don't know what was going on, actually. We also had a bit of lag as well. When we actually got to just killed the witch, and we were just going into the Crota section, which is the last phase, where all the enemies were stood still, and on other people had said they weren't there, so it was a kind of bit weird.
Yeah.
So we all went out of sync a little bit.
It did.
Maybe that was part of the problem, actually, is maybe that we were desyncing a bit. I don't know.
I'm going to blame that and not my skill with a sword. That's how I'm going to get around that. But it was, you know, really unlucky. And then it all went sort of sideways, and yeah, we just never really kind of got back into that rhythm again. And so that kind of that kind of sucked, but we were able to do both the raids on hard. You know, I know there was a couple of people that we play with that were waiting to do those things so they can kind of chalk those off the year one kind of checklist, that Bungie have kind of set us.
Yeah, it's just the Prisoner of Elders 35 that people need, I think, now.
Yeah, and do you know what's really kind of, I guess unlucky in a way, or yeah, I mean, I've done the 35 a few times now, and last night, well, this weekend, should I say, my lad, aka the Voice of All Cracker, he was, we had him staying around this weekend, and he'd been sort of hammering Destiny yesterday, as he does. Got me a few guns upgraded, so you know I can't knock him for that. He certainly does his part on my Destiny account. But just as he was kind of logging off, it was around about midnight actually, I got a message from one of the guys that he's listening to the show. We'll give him a shout out now. The Birds. Do you know what? I know there's a number after his name. And Sean, I'm really sorry, buddy, but I can't remember your gamer tag off the top of my head. The Birds, his name's Sean, Irish fella, really good lad. I got a message through from him saying, oh, you know, one of the lads dropped out on Skolos, Rat Skolos. Can you come and give us a hand? So I jumped in and we kind of did it first time. I didn't really get anything out of it. I'd already got the ship and you know, I got like a 5k jewel thing. But I think that they're looking to... I think they do that weekly, so if they do... I know that I'll be speaking to the Birds at some point this week. What I'll do, mate, I know you're looking to do the 35, and OM's looking to do the 35. I'll see whether I can arrange that for you guys to kind of hook up, and him and his boys really kind of proficient with it. We did it first time. They really know what they're doing. So yeah, shout out to my man there, Sean. But yeah, hopefully we can get that chalked off, and then you're going to be complete, then, aren't you? You'll have the complete checklist yourself.
Yeah, I mean the Flawless is just a trophy, isn't it? So yeah, we can do that any time. I mean, we could go back at level 40 and do it, be a piece of cake.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, we can get that done at some point.
Another thing, just while we're talking about Destiny, Xur was selling Galahorn this week.
Woohoo.
Yeah, so that was a bit of an anti-climax, it's only
taken him about a year.
I know, right? So he sold it like right at the start of the game. Then there was that thing...
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, I think I can't remember what week it was. It was before I'd started really doing the weeklies and stuff. So it was before I had really gotten into the whole sort of strange coins and visiting Xur and that kind of thing. But yeah, he had sold it once before in one of the opening weeks, and then that was it. It was kind of this weapon that was kind of eluding everybody. In the year that, you know, well, coming up to a year that I've been playing the game, I've dropped three kind of randomly. And now, you know, now that I've got three, he's selling them. So I know that a lot of people, you know, have been wanting this sort of day to come, and now that it has, hopefully everybody that didn't have the Galahorn will now have, you know, one, two, three of them, and be working their way to kind of upgrading them. But I just find it a little bit sketchy that, you know, this kind of close to the new DLC dropping, that they now that, you know, Xur is now selling kind of the most powerful weapon in the game, even with the nerf, it's still going to be kind of up there, isn't it? So
I was going to say, it's a bit weird that he sold it within the first week, because that would have been quite difficult for people to have the funds, I would have thought, unless they...
Yeah, definitely. I think...
Yeah, strange decision to sell that straight away.
Yeah, I think maybe the guys that had been able to pick that up would have been the guys that were doing the... had got kind of multiple characters at the start. I mean, up until probably about 6 months ago, I was only running with a hunter. I didn't really think I was ever going to get around to doing the three characters. I thought it would take too long. And then I'd started getting sort of bits and pieces of equipment, you know, dropping in various engrams and things for other characters, which then kind of prompted me to then sort of make the other characters. But you could then run. People what they were doing was they were running, you know, the weeklies and then storing the coins in the vault. Then one character would have access to all of those coins, and then they would be able to then go and buy weapons and armor and stuff. And that was a way that I'd seen quite early on in Destiny, on kind of how to, I guess, kind of farm coins and you know, buy stuff for a specific character. But yeah, so that's Destiny, mate. What else has been in your system?
I purchased Everyone Has Gone to the Rapture from PSN.
Man, this game looks good. It's got some good reviews. I know that we spoke about it kind of off air. Tell us a bit about that, mate.
It's done by the same guys that did a game on the PC called Dear Esther.
Yeah.
Which was you start on a beach. I think it was in Scotland, this one. and you wandered around, and there's a sort of a story that unlocks as you search around and pick up notes and things like that. Well, this one's similar, except you're learning where everybody has gone. So basically you start off in a village, and you wander around and you see this little lights that glow. And when you shake your controller, the light sends out these sort of beams of light, and then that generates like these images of shapes of people, and they kind of talk to each other.
Oh, wow.
So it's a bit, you find out the backstory that way by following around and finding out where these people have gone and what was happening. And I haven't finished it yet, so I can't really tell you what it's about, because obviously that's a bit of a spoiler, but it's a really good game.
One of the things that I do really like about this game is the kind of nostalgia factor you've got to it. Now, I've seen some screenshots, I've watched the trailer, I've seen some of the bits and pieces on kind of YouTube and on Twitch as well. And things just like the kind of red telephone boxes, you would have had back in the 80s, sort of 70s and 80s, British Telecom phone boxes. It just kind of, it's set in... Where is it? It's not York. I know we were talking about York earlier. It's set in somewhere in the UK, isn't it?
It's set in a village called Yountain.
Yes.
And I can't quite remember where that is, but it's, I don't know, somewhere in the middle of the Midlands or something.
Yeah, it's kind of...
Possibly.
It looks kind of a bit like a kind of rural, but not. Like a sort of Emma Daly type kind of village. Anyone that's listening to this show out of the UK will have no idea what we're talking about there. That'll be a very obscure reference.
That's one for our Swedish listeners.
That's for our Scandinavian peoples. But I'm looking to pick this up myself. Reading some of the reviews on it, it's almost been likened to kind of a piece of art as opposed to a game. It's kind of an experience rather than the game. Some people are saying, and something else which has been kind of sort of levied at it is that it's very kind of slow and kind of meandering, and that there's no kind of, it doesn't seem any kind of urgency, but there is in fact a hidden run feature in the game. Had you heard about this?
Yeah, this is they were criticized because you do move around quite slowly, but I mean at the beginning I thought, well, that's fair enough because it's kind of an exploratory sort of game.
Yeah,
so you're supposed to look at things, you know, and examine things, so you're not going to be running around like a headless chicken. But yeah, if you hold the right trigger down before you move forward, I don't know whether you're a man or a woman. You've got no backstory at all. You're just an observer.
Yeah,
and it's kind of strange in that way. But you just start to jog, but it's not that much quicker than just walking. But you're right about the 80s reference. It's all set in 1984.
Cool.
So there's four Cortinas everywhere, and you know there's no iPhones or anything.
No.
You know, you the most high tech thing is you get is those big 80s mobiles, which look a bit like a satellite phone.
You have to sort of carry around with a car battery in a briefcase.
But yeah, I mean, you've got the shops have all got 80s stuff in there. It's really cool. I like it.
Yeah, I am. I'm looking to pick this up myself. There's something else in the PlayStation store I'm looking at as well. Which is Goat Simulator, which dropped this week. I've not played it before on any consoles. My kids tell me it's the bomb, as the kids would say. It looks quite cool. It kind of, when I'm looking at it and how the sort of ragdoll physics really reminds me of Tony Hawk's. I don't know why, but maybe it's the graphic style as well. But yeah, that's something I'm looking to pick up. That's also on sale, as is Everybody's Gone to Rapture on the PlayStation Store right now. So mate, yeah, anything else? Anything else you've been playing?
I finished Batman Arkham Knight, which I was going to talk about on the last episode, but I completely forgot about it. That's a great game. I really like it. The only criticism of it is there's the Batmobile can turn into a tank, and it's a little bit overused mechanic.
Okay.
So, you know, they want you to use, you know, look, this really cool feature, but they tend to milk it a bit too much.
Right.
So, but once you go through the story, I like the way you can break off and do free roam at any time. So, imagine GTA's free roam world where you can choose what mission you go to next. That's what Batman's like.
Oh, sounds good.
So you have your normal objectives, and then you have sub objectives, and then you have all your, you know, your traditional Joker's riddles to collect.
Okay.
And it's just really, really nice looking. It was probably one of the nicest looking games on the PlayStation, I reckon.
I'm still waiting for one of our friends of the show, Marty Extreme, to part with his copy and send it my way. So Marty, if you're listening, any point this week, buddy, that'd be greatly appreciated.
Yeah, he can get off the leaderboards then, from because it shows you your greatest Batman or crime fighters, and he's on nearly all of them.
Yeah.
So there's loads of mini challenges, and that's a nice feature, you know, where you've got your friends list and you can try and beat each other's scores and stuff.
It kind of breaks down the sort of game as a whole, and I guess gives it a bit more kind of longevity, doesn't it? It doesn't. It's not just about getting from A to B to finish the game. You've got, you know, it's about the journey from A to B, and the fact that you can actually, you know, take your time and do these kind of things on the side to kind of prolong the experience. I know when I last spoke to Matt, he was saying that the DLC is dropping in September, is it? Some DLC coming in September, so there's going to be more Batman to play.
it's a bit sad because it's like an end of an era, because the studio Rocksteady, they've been doing the Batman games for 8 years now.
Oh wow.
So it's the end of Batman, but I don't know. I mean, I watched the film, The Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've seen it right to the end, but
yeah.
I don't know. At the end, it's kind of sad because you want there to be more Batman, because it's just, you know, that the guy that directed it, Steve Nolan. I just like his vision of Batman as opposed to anybody else's, because it's kind of dark.
Yeah, that trilogy, and fantastic films, mate. I love, you know, I really like them all.
And it's a bit sad because that's the end of it. I don't know what's going to happen next with Batman, apart from the Batman Superman thing, which looks a bit strange.
But. That's one that, yeah, I don't really know what I think about that. But I guess when that launches, we'll have. We'll be able to talk about that a bit more then. Yeah, it's really weird, that is.
The only thing I want to mention is I always wanted to fight Mr. Freeze. I don't know if you've seen the film where Arnie plays Mr. Freeze.
Unfortunately, I have, mate, yeah.
I just think he makes me laugh, and it's just, he would be great in a sort of a comedy sort of superhero type thing, because he'd be class in something like that.
Yeah.
If you could do a spin-off. You know, like a comedy superhero type game.
Yeah.
I always thought he'd be good doing, like, voice, you know, some of the voice acting for, but he's never done it for, like, animation and stuff.
Yeah, I don't know whether that's.
He's never been asked to do it.
Because he's, I mean, you know, he's quite kind of, like, you know, he's got quite a unique voice, hasn't he? You know, everybody, you know,
yeah.
You would know Arnie if he was talking, you know, you're kind of your eyes closed in a dark room kind of thing, you'd know it was him.
Yeah, he's got a distinctive voice, so
yeah.
I always thought he'd be, but you know, I suppose they like any, like when you're talking about movies, that people would just pick up work as they're available, don't they? So he's been doing the Terminator Genesis and all that sort of stuff, but I don't know how long it takes to make a film, but you know, it can be a couple of years, can't it, shooting?
It can be, yeah. Some of the big ones, yeah, they can drag on quite a bit.
Yeah, because I think also you have to go back and do scenes after they've done some of the special effects and stuff like that. You know, to go back and just finish bits off, because you can't do it until the special effects have been put in place, because you don't know what you're reacting to, kind of thing.
Yeah, the whole kind of CGI, but, blue screen kind of thing.
Yeah. But anyway, going back to video games, and that was that. I'm trying to think what else I played. I don't think I played much else, actually. Batman took up quite a bit of time.
Yeah.
That's probably, and I haven't finished it yet. I've finished the, what you call the main story.
Yeah.
But there's a bit of a twist at the end where you think it's finished, but it's not.
Ah.
So, I haven't completed it 100%.
Well, I'll be keeping my eye out for said twist when I'm kind of going through it.
Yeah, I'd advise you to play it on the easy mode, just purely because I don't know, on the it you get a new game plus option towards the end, which you will probably need to be a lot stronger for, like, the harder modes, unless you're a a Batman super fan or something. I don't.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, the combat is similar, but it's a little bit more fast paced now, and they've put a lot more counters and things in, so it can get a bit hectic.
Yeah, I'm a bit rusty with the old Batman game, so yeah, I probably will. I'll start off with that and see whether we can build up to.
Because you can just enjoy the storyline, and then after you finished it, if you want to go back and, like, you know, do a bit more advanced combat, then you can whack the difficulty up.
Yeah.
If you just want to mess around with the fighting stuff.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the Batmobile's pretty cool. What else was I going to say about it? The city looks really massive. I don't know what they're going to do, because, I mean, Warner Brothers, I'm quite impressed. I mean, they've been putting out some good published titles. You know, you had Shadows of Mordor, yeah, the Lord of the Rings game.
Yeah.
Batman, they're doing... I think they did Mortal Kombat 10, didn't they? So they've had quite a few big hitters.
Yeah, before that you had Injustice Gods Amongst Us, which I think was Warner Brothers as well. Which was an absolutely epic fighting game. And, you know, sort of the crossover, the sort of combat system with Mortal Kombat 10 is very, very similar. But yeah, that was a great game as well.
But I mean, I kind of, whenever I see Warner Brothers, what about you? I just think of films all the time. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I don't really see them as a games publisher still, even though they've been putting out, you know, different titles and that. I still see them primarily as a film production.
Yeah, people. They've gone proper kind of multimedia now, haven't they? And, you know, fair play to them for doing it. They've got a lot of money and they're a massive brand. So, you know, as long as they keep pumping out the quality titles, we're going to keep playing them.
That's true. What about you? What have you been playing, mate?
Right. Wow. As it started off the week, you know, we've already sort of talked about the whole sort of Destiny fiasco that kind of, you know, didn't happen. I've been playing some football games this week. Now, I need to be very careful as to how I word this, because I am actually under an embargo. So, there's something that I cannot talk about, which is quite heavily linked to what I am going to talk about, which is the demo for PES 2016. Now, last season, or last year, whatever, I had both games. I had PES and I had FIFA, and I always felt that Pro Evo played a much more fluid game of football. I used to play football back in the day. You know, I'm a massive football fan. And for me, Pro Evo, up until 2005, was like the quintessential football game. FIFA was too arcadey. FIFA then upped its game, you know, and it became more like PES. And PES kind of, you know, went on a bit of a strange path, and there were some massive online issues, and it just went down the toilet, basically. So from sort of 2010 to sort of last year, really, I was all about the FIFA, you know, Ultimate Team and pro clubs and things like that. Now, excuse me, I've been playing the PES 2016 demo, need to be careful what I say, and it's very, very good, mate. It's very, very good. I actually prefer this to last year's version. They're using the same Konami are using the same Fox engine as they used last year. They've upped the animations, they've upped the graphics, the speed of play and kind of how fluid the game feels is kind of still there. The goals that you can score are absolutely sensational. FIFA always kind of feels a little bit, or has felt a little bit, you know, you would score goals the same way. There's always been a bit of a sweet spot on the pitch where if you use your finesse shot, you can bend it in. It doesn't matter if you had two goalkeepers there, they're not going to save it. It would go in every time. And that was very frustrating when you played online, that a lot of people would use, you know, the finesse shot from sort of 25 yards, curling in the top corner, and you'd be 3-0, they'd hit three shots from there, you'd be 3-0 down. Very, very frustrating. With Pro Evo, the player, and again, this is just a demo that I've been playing, but the players seem a lot, the AI seems a lot more intelligent. So they're making runs, they're blocking off people, they're pointing to where on the pitch they want. So rather than on FIFA last year, you would need to kind of press, I use alternative controls, so I press R1 and that kind of forces a player that's near me to make a run. On PES this year, you don't need to do that. If you're running in a direction, any of your players that are kind of, I guess, or one of the players that you're closest to will dart in behind a defender, will come short for a ball, will kind of point long, so they want it sort of lofted over the top. It really, really helps. And As I say, some of the goals you can score are absolute pearlers. Like, well, for me, I've always kind of felt that if I score a goal on FIFA, it's kind of very kind of robotic in the way it feels. It's just kind of almost like a conveyor belt: pass, shoot, goal, pass, shoot, goal. With Pro Evo, you've had to work for that goal, and it's almost when it's a good goal. How I would describe it is, I feel better when I've missed a sitter. Or I've hit the bar or hit the post with a genuine chance on PES than when I've scored a goal on FIFA. Oh, you almost feel that you've achieved more by, you know, like a 12 pass, and then you've hit a 12 pass kind of movement, and then you hit the post on PES, as to when you do the same thing and score on FIFA. On FIFA, you almost expect to score. Whereas with Pro Evo, it makes you work that much more for it. Therefore, the whole kind of thing about scoring feels more rewarding. Guys, if you've not tried this demo yet, go out and grab it. It's on the PlayStation Store now. It came out on Thursday, I think. You won't regret it. It's an absolutely brilliant game or demo. If the finished article is anything close to that, then we're going to be in for a treat. So this year, I've decided that I'm going to be going for PES on the PS4. The other game, FIFA, is released soon, and that's all I can really say about that, unfortunately. But yeah, I've been playing PES and another game which I can't talk about, so that was that. That's the whole kind of the whole football side of things. I've been playing some God of War 3, it's absolutely brutal, man. I played the first and second one on sort of the PS3, I think, and I never really played the third one. I never really got around to it. By that point, I was kind of really heavily into my first person shooters and stuff, so I gave it a bit of a wide berth, and I'm kind of glad that I did, because then I probably wouldn't have gone out and bought it for the PS4, which I've done. It's the upscaled version of it, the sort of HD remake, if you will. It kind of starts off really in an epic kind of way. You know, you're within sort of 5 minutes, you're fighting Poseidon in this kind of epic battle, and you know how these things go. You know, it kind of pans out and gives you an idea of scope. You know, sort of Kratos is kind of this tiny little man, and you're fighting this giant kind of monster, and you think, how the hell am I going to beat this? But you know, you kind of do, and yeah, it's really, really good, really, really fun. The only thing I would say is, for me, a bit of a downer for this is that you've got a fixed camera angle, which I really hate. You know, I really don't understand that at all. With such, you know, I think it's locked at 30 frames per second as well. So the combat feels so fluid. But yeah, just being able to kind of, you know, look around your environment and that kind of thing. You know, let the kind of player decide kind of how that they kind of want to view the battle, as opposed to it being fixed. For me, would have been a much better feature. It's a bit of a glaring omission, if you ask me, but been having a bit of fun with that. That's been quite good. The Rare Replay Collection. I've been installing games from that. Unfortunately, I've not got anything to report because I haven't played any of them. But
well, I've actually played a few of them. I forgot to include that in my segment. I've played Jetpack, Attic Attack.
Okay, yeah.
Underworld, Jetpack Retro, the new one, and I played the amazing Viva Pinata.
Wow, Viva Pinata, man, 360 all the way, baby.
I never played it, you see.
Did you not? Okay.
No, I never played it when it was on 360, and I'm gutted because it's a great game.
Yeah, it's really, really fun, man. I really like that.
I've got a lot of worms in my garden at the moment.
What's the other? Because there's two on that. Which, by the way, guys, is boys and girls, should I say, guys? Because that's being sexist, and we're not a sexist show here at All Your Base Podcast. Boys and girls,
no, just off air.
Yeah, just off air. With Andy Gray and Richard Keys, but that's a different story. For the price that you pay for this disc, I mean, as far as
20 quid, isn't it?
Mate, as far as content goes, you are not going to find. This is for me value for money on any system. This is number one. I mean, before this, it was probably Borderlands, you know, the Handsome Collection, which was an absolute, you know, monster of a disc with the amount of content you got on there. But this, with all the titles, all the DLC, I think the cheapest I've seen it was $16.99. That was on, where was that? Zavvi.com, one of their Mega Monday deals, which Mega Monday's tomorrow, so if you've not picked this game up yet and you want it, obviously this show will be coming out sort of after Monday, but you know, they you know, as these sales go, they generally drag on for a couple of days. But yeah, you know, you've got to pick this disc up, man. It's fantastic.
I think it's actually worth paying the extra couple of quid for the digital version, purely because it just sits in your library then.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can pick and choose what you want to play through without having to keep sticking the disc in.
Yeah, I mean, some of the things, some of the games do install, I mean, you have to go to the store and then download them, and you don't, I don't think you need the disc to access those ones, but the majority of them, you know, as you say, you do have to have the disc in to access them completely. And yeah, that is a bit of a ball ache. And yeah, to be honest, I think now you've mentioned it, that would have been a smarter move for me to do that, but I'm still waiting.
Just depends how lazy you are, really.
I'm very lazy, mate. Very, very lazy. Yeah, because something else I didn't mention at the start of the show. This week I was hoping to have played a lot more games. You guys that have been following our Twitter feed and whatnot, interacting with the show that way, at AWB Podcast on Twitter, in case you don't do that already. I actually snapped my ankle last weekend, so I'm on crutches and I've got a Beckham boot on. And I thought, yeah, I'm going to get 6 weeks off work. I'm going to be sitting around doing loads of gaming. Yeah, my boss had different ideas and said, yeah, Jim, get yourself in. And she doesn't play games. She doesn't know who Cheese and Beans is. I know, right? I can't believe it myself. But she says, you know, you can come in, you can do admin work. And yeah, so I've been sitting around the office bored as anything, doing an admin job. That was that. I didn't get my 6 weeks off, and I've even had less time on gaming because it takes me longer to do things around the house, help out with the kids and stuff. I've actually had less time to game, so that's been a bit of a
backfire, didn't it?
Yeah, it did, mate. Yeah, you sound just like the wife. She was like, "You snapped that on purpose." Yeah, of course I did, love. Everyone likes to break their break their ankle now and again. But there were the two that I bought retail. And there's something else that I've been playing, and that is Payday 2. We played that together this morning, didn't we, briefly?
Yeah, we did.
Picked it up off eBay. Not bought a game off eBay for a little while. And I've been kind of itching, you know, I had bought a few games kind of this month, and, you know, I like to try and sort of get three or four. I had three at that point. And then, yeah, this kind of came along, and, you know, I kind of got it relatively cheap, I suppose. I think it was like 27 quid or something.
Yeah, it's about what I paid for it.
Yeah, and, you know, I've not really sort of played too much of it. I've been on the single player part. I've been to the kind of like your base, the kind of, what would you call that?
Safe house.
Yeah, safe house, that's it. Been to the safe house. I've had a little practice kind of, you know, opening doors and cracking safes and things like that. And the night before, I went and looked at this kind of the offline mode. Now, we'll have a little talk about the online part of it in a minute, but this was kind of like the single player thing of it. And it says, right, you need to go and case this joint, blah blah blah. Now, when I think of kind of casing a joint, then for me, I would be, you know, going and having a little look around, seeing where security is, where the cameras are, you know, safe exit points, that kind of thing.
I think that's what you're supposed to do, yeah.
Yeah, but the thing is, as soon as you sort of get outside the shop, it prompts you to put your mask on. Now, as soon as you do that, all hell breaks.
It all kicks off.
Yeah, all hell breaks loose, and it's like, okay, now I'm in the shit. So you have to kind of go in, and you know, you start smashing the place up, and you're pistol whipping people, and the cops come, and you're shooting them. And while you're doing all of that, the AI three characters that are in your kind of squad, your team, your group, whatever, stand around doing absolutely jack shit. They're absolutely pathetic. I mean, they're the worst criminals ever.
It's got to be the worst AI in any game I've ever seen.
It's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, yeah, when we were playing earlier, so like myself and John have gone into this mall, and one of the guys that were with us come with us. The other guy just stood outside, leaning against the wall. They got a SWAT team in there. There's a helicopter turning up. There's all this stuff being, you know.
He's just watching the police run past.
Yeah, I'm sure he was watching like Sky Sports on his phone or something. But whatever he was doing, he wasn't joining in with what we were doing. And, you know, I bet he's still got a cut of the he still got a cut of the profits at the end of that.
Cheeky brother. And also you notice that the computer doesn't ever pick up any bags.
Yeah.
It's pretty pointless. Yeah. I mean, they do shoot back at the police, but that's only if the police start shooting at them.
Yeah,
they ignore you, which is kind of quite strange.
It's kind of counterproductive, really, that, isn't it? You're supposed to work together in a four-man team, and when you've got one outside sort of, you know, picking his nose and the other guy running around like headless chicken, not picking anything up or shooting at anybody, they kind of become a bit of a hindrance as opposed to a help, don't they?
Yeah, they do. I mean, it is a great game. I mean, I've played this on PC, but I never bought any of the DLC content.
Yeah.
So, you know, for 28 quid, you're getting the game plus a year's worth of DLC with it. So, it's not bad.
But, talking about the kind of the online part of it, we spoke about this a bit sort of earlier on, was that it seems a little bit broken, doesn't it? I know there's been a lot of posts online, a lot of kind of conversations had with people that it's been very difficult to get a game.
The Xbox especially has a problem joining lobbies. Mm. Now, I managed to get it to work today, but they did patch it on the 14th, so that was, yesterday.
Yeah.
People were complaining. It's been like that for a couple of months, though, so I was really hesitant about picking it up on the Xbox, but... the PS4 hasn't had the same problem, so it must be just to do with the network code on live.
Yeah, and unfortunately for us, the summer sale on PSN, this game for PS4 is now like sort of 20, just under, just a
21 quid.
Yeah, just a smidge under 22 quid. So, you know, as far as kind of gameplay goes, if you can get sort of four of your mates together to kind of get this game. I know that I've, you know, there's obviously myself and John that are playing it. There's a couple of other lads that I know that have got the Xbox One that I've kind of bullied into picking this up as well. But any of you guys out there that, you know, fancy jumping on, you know, myself, you know, I'm Cheese _ the letter N _ Beans on PlayStation, which is what I don't have this game on, actually. So that doesn't make any sense. Jimmy Two Times is my tag on there. And obviously John's at Nefarian. So just add us and, you know, jump in and get on some heists with us, because, you know, the more the merrier.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we need four. It's worth mentioning it's only four people in a team. So yeah. If 10 of you send requests to play it with us, then we're going to have to split up into teams.
Well, there's that, or you'll need to send your CVs in. We'll need to look at CVs and things. You know, we also accept bribes. So
you've got to have Gjallarhorn.
Yeah, you need to have Max Gjallarhorn, be level 34. I've done all the raids on hard. Skylar's 35, and you have to have flawless Trials of Osiris.
It's also worth noting that when you reach the, I think it's 150 rank.
Yeah.
You can switch to a mode called Infamous, which costs you 2 million in cash, from an offshore cash. And after that, you start to unlock loads of good guns and stuff. So, I mean, there's a lot of longevity packed in there.
One thing I do like about this is the whole kind of four-player co-op thing. One thing that drew me to the game, if I'm being honest, was the whole... I mean, I've really liked and really enjoyed doing the raiding on Destiny, and I think that's what's kept me in that game for so long. That's one of the reasons I got this for Xbox, is because I didn't really want to sort of triple dip on Destiny, and I was looking for something that I could play online with a group, and this kind of sort of ticked all the boxes. So I'm really hoping that, you know, that now this patch has happened. I mean, we didn't seem to have any kind of issues kind of earlier on, although it was just kind of me and yourself. I really want to sort of knuckle down and sort of start getting some of these good guns, because when we were sort of playing earlier, I couldn't believe the prices. Like, that Uzi was like 44 grand. And I was like, geez, you know, that's a lot of money. But then, as you pointed out, you know, the better the heists are that you do, the more money you're going to get. And that's just going to seem like pocket change, isn't it?
I mean, I bought the, I think it's the Commando 533, which is an assault rifle. And I think that was about 30 grand, but the AK is 34 grand. If you do a mission and you whack the difficulty up, you can easily get 50 grand cash and, you know, 150 grand in your offshore account.
Yeah.
Which, if anyone doesn't know, that's money you haven't got. That's money that you know, that criminals have when they want to get out of the game, as they call it. So that's money that they bank. So when they want to exit and stop being a criminal and retire. So, that's their pension.
It's to sort of set them up with a bungalow on the Gold Coast or whatever. But yeah, I'm enjoying that. And, you know, although the graphics aren't, you know, the best, I mean, it's you can tell it's been HD'd up, but it's definitely not sort of a native sort of next-gen game. You can definitely tell that. I didn't have any... I didn't seem to have any frame rate drops. It seemed to move pretty smoothly. And I really like the music in it. You know, it's got that... It kind of puts you in the mood for a heist. Do you know what I mean? It kind of reminds... Again, with the kind of masks and stuff, it reminds me of that film Point Break from the 80s with Keanu Reeves and Patrick Swayze, you know, where they're...
Or Heat. With the street gunfire, and it's not just all going around buildings. I mean, there's loads of as you'll see as we play more missions, there's ones that involve trying to escort people, and there's loads of stuff in it that I haven't come across that I saw other people collecting these badges and things, you know. I don't know what they unlock certain events and things, so you just really the only weird thing is it doesn't really follow a structure, so you kind of just pick and choose what you want to do. And also some missions, the pro missions are over 4 or 5 days, so you've got 5 different events to go through, and if you're all white, then you just lose everything.
Yeah, I saw that. And
so they're the real high-stakes stuff. They are.
On the one that we were doing today with those vans and stuff, is that... Yeah. You know, you could sort of see it was sort of broken down into days, and that you know, you could see that there was going to be kind of other parts you would need to do to kind of complete that mission. And something else when we were playing it earlier on that you'd sort of spoke about, I completely agree with you in that. I wish that the heist on GTA were done like this. The heist on GTA are good, but I just think that obviously this game's bread and butter. This is what this game's about. If they'd have tacked in to GTA a mode that was like this as opposed to what the heists are on GTA, it would have felt a bit more authentic, I suppose. Not that I'm a gangster.
I think the problem with the GTA one, the Payday 2 is more immersive in actually feeling like you're robbing somewhere. Whereas, you know, in GTA it's a little bit, you know, it's quite easy to just drive around and run people over. It's a bit kind of like slapstick, isn't it? Whereas this is a bit more feels a bit more gritty and realistic.
And also on GTA, you're just always robbing people, whether that be their car, their money, whatever. So it kind of loses its impact a little bit when, you know, everything that you do in that game revolves around kind of crime and kind of whatever. I don't know anybody that plays that game to be the good citizen, and I mean the story doesn't sort of allow you to do that anyway. But anyway, mate, that's what I've been playing this week, and hopefully, you know, kind of this week coming, I'll be able to cram some more gaming in. So before we kind of started the show, guys, you know, we were kind of having a little chat kind of off air. I sent some put a message over to John there about some things that we were going to talk about, and I'm just looking at the time, really, mate, that we've got left for the show. I think we might only be able to cram one of them in, so I think maybe for next week we should look at what's going to be happening or what we're looking forward to at Eurogamer, because I think that's probably going to take up a sizable chunk of the show. But something I really wanted to talk to you about and get this kind of out there to the listeners as well is what you've been up to this week with your PlayStation, mates. I think this is something that people that have got a PlayStation, you know, that sort of kind of got it at launch, and I guess with the Xbox as well, has been a little bit of a gripe for everybody, and that's the size of the hard drives that come, you know, with the systems. Xbox
have, way too small, basically.
Definitely, yeah, and I think that Microsoft, you know, were the first ones to kind of crack on and then, you know, then release a system with a bigger hard drive. But Sony kind of not so much. I know that they're looking at bringing out terabyte ones in the future. But what have you been doing with yours this week then, matey? Your PS4, that is.
Well, I got a bit fed up with only being able to have like 6 full games with DLC installed at any time, and then, you know, I'm umming and ahhing about what I'm gonna play and having to uninstall and then re-download, and it just got a bit it just got a bit irritating.
Yeah.
A bit like having a boat when you have to start swapping people, get in and out all the time, you know, because it's over the limit.
You've got that
so
time.
I went on...
you've got that sort of time you mentioned about kind of downloading and stuff. It's about the time that takes as well. I mean, so the PlayStation isn't exactly known for its download speed, is it? I mean, it can take absolutely hours to get just like a vanilla version of a game. If you're starting tagging on DLC and things like that, I mean, you're looking. You have to leave this thing on overnight. But sorry, go on, carry on.
So I started researching really about. I'd read somewhere that with the PS3 you could change a hard disk.
Yeah.
So I ummed and ahed about getting an external for the Xbox, but the Xbox I haven't got as many games on as I have for the PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
So I thought PlayStation 4. Okay, I'm gonna look at getting a new hard disk. I had a look at the different sizes. Now you can get a 1 terabyte and a 2 terabyte one. And 2 terabytes are still about just under £80.
Okay.
So they're still quite a bit for a not particularly fast hard drive. So I went for the 1 terabyte and picked one up from Amazon. I think it was £45.
So that's a good price,
just
mate.
I looked at Eurogamer's, had a page where they compared hard disks from a year ago.
Yeah.
And a year ago, the 1 terabyte was £89.
Okay.
So, obviously, it's halved in cost.
Yeah.
And I don't really think I need more than the terabyte. I would be quite surprised if I play... I mean, the problem is if you have too many games installed, then you never finish any of them. You just sort of jump around.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and also I'm thinking as well, you know, Taken King coming up, that's bound to be another 20 gigs worth on top of what already the base game thinks about 40 gig.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, you're getting bigger and bigger, and then you chuck in Battlefield, and then you got the up-and-coming releases. Fallout's not going to be less than 50 gig, I wouldn't have thought.
No, that's going to be a massive download. Well, I say download, installation, should I say, rather than download. But
yeah,
you're right. I mean, the thing is, the games are getting bigger. Yeah. The DLCs are coming sort of fast and furious. You know, we've got silly season around the corner. You know, space is going to become like a premium thing. And when you mentioned that you'd obviously done yours, you know, it's definitely something that I'm going to be looking at doing.
Yeah, I mean, it is easy. It's literally taking off 5 screws.
Mm-hmm.
Taking the other one, sliding out. It's in a caddy, so it's in a little sort of like metal cage. You slide it out, you put the new one in, you screw it back together. The only thing you have to do is copy the system software for the PlayStation onto a USB stick and then
go
into safe mode. It's about a gig.
Okay, so that's nothing.
So it's not
really
massive.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's going to have like a thumb drive or a pen drive or a memory stick lying around. So
the Eurogamer did a test a while ago to look at SSDs versus these, what they've got, these ones called hybrid drives, which is a mixture of flash memory and the rest of it is just standard sort of disk. I think this has got 32 gigs of flash memory.
Oh wow!
Which it uses to frequently access, and it does make the using the PSN UE, it makes it a lot quicker, and I don't think the quality of the stock drives that come, you know, pre-installed is particularly good.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's all the maths, facts, and figures about the speed of it. It just feels quicker. And it installs quicker.
Yeah, you'd mentioned earlier that you said, you know, kind of when we were chatting earlier, that it felt faster to you. And I mean, comparing the PlayStation to Xbox in regards to kind of dashboard and, you know, that kind of your front end kind of dashboard user interface thing, the PlayStation feels fast compared to the Xbox. I'm kind of looking forward to, you know, if I'm able to speed that PlayStation up even just a tad, to how kind of how quick and fluid that's going to feel. So,
I think it's worth mentioning as well that the Xbox is running 3 operating systems overlaid on each other.
Yeah,
People don't realise that because it's got all the TV multimedia stuff.
Yeah,
and then you've got all your sort of like your
your Skype and all that sort of stuff that can run in the background, and then you've got the UE. Whereas, you know, because the PlayStation doesn't have to do TV,
no,
you know, that frees up a lot of performance. And then obviously if you've got a Kinect running at the same time,
yeah, definitely,
there's a lot more going on the Xbox, so it isn't going to be as quick. But in November, the Windows 10 is released on the Xbox, and that is supposed to give around about a 12% performance increase.
Yeah, it's going to be very noticeable, mate. Very noticeable.
Yeah. And unfortunately, with the Xbox, you can't take out the hard drive and change it, or but you can use external hard drives, which is one thing the PlayStation doesn't support.
Yeah, I mean, and they're coming down in price as well now. I know that when I was looking. Myself, I'm the same as yourself, mate. I mean, when it comes to kind of titles owned, PlayStation is, you know, I've probably got four times as many games on that than I've got on the Xbox. I mean, I've had it obviously longer. I've had it, you know, probably 18 months longer than the Xbox. But yeah, even in saying that, I think with the EA Access titles, that now what I'm having to do is I'm having to sort of really kind of micromanage. Sort of stuff with the Xbox, and although the Xbox probably is a bit quicker at downloading things than the PS4, I still don't want to have to wait to kind of access that content. I want it to be there and kind of ready to play kind of when I want it. And I know since I got the Rare Replay, and also with Payday 2 as well, that I've had to kind of start, you know, kind of deleting this and deleting that, or I'm not really going to play that so much, and you know, this, that, and the other, sort of taking things off, and it's all kind of micromanaging. And you know, really, this is something that, as gaming companies, knowing the size of the games that they were going to be putting out or were going to be on their systems, 500 gig is nothing really, is it? It should have been terabyte standard.
Yeah, some people even say 2 terabyte if you're building longevity in, but I mean, obviously. You know, that it's a good plus point for them, because I think the new PlayStation, the 1 terabyte one,
yeah,
it has got some slight improvements in the hardware that make it quieter,
yeah,
and it runs a little bit cooler. But you know, it's like the Slim. I mean, they always bring out new versions with bigger hard disks, because obviously it's a way of selling a whole new console.
Yeah.
So, but at least PlayStation, in a way, give you the opportunity to upgrade the hard disk yourself. I mean, if you've got the money, you could put a 2 terabyte SSD in there if you've got 300 quid floating around.
Yeah.
But, you know, in terms of performance, there isn't that much in it. It's literally a couple of seconds difference. So, but, I mean, it's worth going back and looking at the hard disk article on Eurogamer. I advise anyone to do it, because they've obviously benchmarked all the drives.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and there's some games, like Call of Duty Ghosts, for example, you're looking at an 8-second difference in loading the level.
That's massive.
Which doesn't sound like a lot, but when you're doing that loading the level time after time after time...
Right, it adds up. And... I mean, if you've got the opportunity to then install something that saves you those 8 seconds, that boots that a little bit quicker, you know, go for it. You know, especially if it's sort of just kind of negligible in price, you know, if the difference isn't quite as bad, then you go for it.
I mean, I always think, you know, people say, you know, have the bigger the better, but you see in the old days when it was all mechanical, the bigger the hard drive, the longer it took to access all the across the drive, so it wasn't always bigger was better, because it took longer to find the files on the drive. But now with these hybrids, which are a mixture of flash memory and traditional hard disk technology, they're quite good. They're actually almost the best of both worlds would be an SSD mixed with a normal hard drive.
Yeah,
because SSDs are still very, very expensive.
Yeah, they are. I mean, I know that when I was
massively expensive
when I was getting my MacBook, that looking at, because initially I was going to get the Air, going a little bit off sort of. Well, it's not off subject, I suppose, but I was looking to get the Air, but for the Air with a 256 gig. SSD drive was like, I think it was like a £350-400 difference between that and the 128 gig SSD drive, and in the end I went for the Pro with the 500 gig just, you know, standard hard drive, because I mean, it's fast enough for what I want it for. I mean, if it's something, you know, that you're looking to, that you need, that you would need for, say, like video editing, or, you know, some high quality sound stuff, then, you know, obviously I would have went for the more expensive options. But as you say, if you can kind of find something that's kind of middle of the road, best of both worlds kind of thing, foot in each camp, then, you know, you're onto a bit of a winner. So that was on what? That was on the Eurogamer article, did you say?
Yeah, it's a bit out of date now because it's like a year on, but
it's going to give you a good idea, isn't it?
It gives you an idea of that you can get a look at four or five different drives and compare them, and, you know, the cost differences between them. I wouldn't ever advise anyone to buy a secondhand disc.
No.
Unless it was for an old computer or something they just wanted to use as a backup machine. But
yeah,
you know, with the gaming, it's quite disc intensive, so I'd always advise people to get a new one if they can.
Yeah, I mean, you don't know, but any corruption or anything from any kind of previous owners, you're going to be screwed, really.
It's also worth mentioning as well that the hard disk that you take out the PS4, if you've got a PlayStation that's only got, say, like a 250 gig drive, is you can slap that straight into the PS3 because it's the same format.
Wow, there you go.
So, you know, or you could flog it for, like, I don't know, 30 quid on eBay or 20 quid.
Money saving tips brought to you by AYB Podcast.
That's right.
You heard it here first. Right, matey.
But get more space. That's my message for this week.
Yeah, more space is what we need. And Sony, Microsoft, if you're listening, probably not. But if you are, you know, sort it out, man. For the next generation of consoles, you know, you need to give us what we need, which is the, you know, adequate storage.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just looking at the timer on the old clock there, matey. We're coming up to about time. Were going to kind of touch on, well, I say touch on, we weren't going to touch on, we were going to have a good old chinwag about it, was about upcoming event, boys and girls. You know what it is, September's just round the corner. Eurogamer is coming to the NEC, or is it NIA? I haven't looked at my tickets to see.
NEC.
NEC. I've got my tickets booked. I know John's going to be getting his sorted out as well for the 26th, which is the Saturday. Mm-hmm. We'll talk more about it next week as to kind of what we're looking forward to seeing there and things like that. But you know, let us know on Twitter. Any of you guys going? I know that I've got a couple of people that I'm kind of looking up to maybe have a little bit of a drink with or whatever. It'd be nice to, you know, sort of shake a few of your hands. You listeners that are keeping us busy and keeping us bringing you this content. It'd be nice to meet a few of you in person, get a few pictures for the Twitter feed. But yeah, we'll talk more about the old Eurogamer thing next week, and I think we'll probably call it a night there, mate, so we can get some gaming in then. You fancy some payday?
I'll have a little go, yeah, sure.
Nice one, matey. All right then, guys, well, until next week, see you later.
See you later, guys.